Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord, for the name of God is Jesus. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. I'll read this as a text scripture. We'll come back and read some more of it a little later. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. I thank God for these little letters that these guys wrote. I mean, this is not volumes of books. We're preaching out of the New Testament. Y'all have to understand, we're preaching out of this much of the book. I mean, we just have a few letters is all we have. We need more than that. This is enough to help you get on track. But the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. This is truth, but it's not all the truth. My pages are coming loose in here. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. Thank the Lord. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's going to be an entrance. I want to talk about making your entrance. Making your entrance. Lord, I'm thankful today that I have a way that the vulture's eye has not seen, the lion's whelp never trodden. Hallelujah. But there is a way that you've prepared for those who seek, those who knock, and those that ask, that they can find it. Thank you, Lord, that you have already been down that way, that I can follow your footsteps and find where you ended up in everlasting life. Hallelujah. Make us this day to be more like you. And each and every day, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm talking about making your entrance. I admire people that are quiet and they show up. And you don't even know they've got there. I'm not real fond of people that make a splash when they. I've known people that they wanted to make their entrance. They wanted to be seen. They wanted people to notice after the crowd got there and after the singing's already started and all, so they can be seen of men. Jesus didn't come that way. They didn't even know it when he got there. Wise men, the ones that found him, and Herod heard about it. He didn't even know it. God doesn't make his entrance quite like man wants to make his entrance. And it's amazing sometimes, and how I hope this didn't happen tonight, but it's amazing how you can drive all the way to church, you husbands and wives, and then when you come in, God bless you. So blessed. Yeah, good to be here. Yeah, and as soon as you're back out, it's back at it again. Because you make your entrance like nothing's wrong. You made your entrance like everything's fine. But when you exit, it's back to the same old thing. We need to make our entrance like we, you understand, like we live. David said, enter into his courts with praise and thanksgiving. That's because you're already doing it when you get here. You just come in doing that. And so I want to talk a little bit about entrance and making your entrance. An entrance, of course, is not just a door. It's a lot of times it's when you pass through the door. What do you look like? What did you appear to be when you came through the door? A lot of times when people walk in, you read their countenance immediately. When they make their entrance, you can tell what their day was like or what their life is like, whether they're feeling bad today or had a hard day at the job. And I'm not acting like you got to act like it's always peaches and cream. We all have rough days and bad days and hard days, and I understand that. But Jesus said this, I am the door. Anybody that's going to enter in must come through the door. If you try to enter in any other way, the same, he said, is a robber and a thief. He is the door of the sheepfold. And so when you come into the presence of God, you have to come through Jesus. That's how we access. We have faith in him to access us to God. And so the Lord himself, he entered in such a quiet way that the world didn't even recognize he was there. But once they proclaimed him to be the Messiah, they started throwing down palm branches and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, as he went to his crucifixion. When royalty comes in, people stand. People clap. Trumpets sound as they make their entrance through the doors and into the presence of other people. And those that are gathered around will cheer them on, so to speak, or reverence them, if you will, with the standing ovation. When you go to a college graduates, when they go to graduate, they'll play that little Pomp and Circumstance. I think that's the name of that song, isn't it? They'll play that as they come in and they got their cap and they make their, I'm trying to teach you something, they have made their entrance. They have done the things necessary to make the entrance. Because if they didn't pass the course and the test and have the knowledge, they couldn't make the entrance. And I want to talk about us making our entrance tonight. David said that the entrance of God's word bringeth light. When God's word comes in, it brings light. It's not like the lights that are shining on me tonight. It is the light of knowledge and the light of understanding. He said he may enlighten you with understanding. And so when the word of God comes in, that's why I'm such a stickler for the word of God, because you won't go anywhere without the word. The word washes you. It's a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. The word of God, when it enters into your life, you start seeing where you're going. So I want to read a couple verses that Job said in chapter 28 and 12. He said, but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? He's perplexed by the Almighty. And he says, where can it be found, and where is the place of understanding? And he says a lot of things, and I won't read them, but he's comparing different things. In the 17th verse, he says, the gold and the crystal cannot equal it. In other words, it doesn't even come to the level of understanding and the importance of understanding and wisdom. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. You cannot exchange what you know for anything. I wouldn't give you anything for what I know about God. There's no substitute for knowledge. None. Then did he see it and declare it, and he prepared it. Yea, he searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. Wow. When I see people, and I'm going to talk about separation here in a minute. When you see people saying, you know, I better not do that. You know, I got to quit hanging around you. They're understanding it. They're beginning to understand, and their wisdom says, no, I'm not doing that, because that's going to affect my life with Christ. And so when you see people separating things themselves out, they will find their own level. You ever said, search your own level? God wants to bring us up because he came down. He wants to bring us up to his level. Even when Christ came, he said he took on the likeness of man, but thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, God's wanting to bring you up to a level of understanding. But the only way you're going to understand God or anything is to communicate with it. If you want to understand two people, you want to, I mean, brother, sister, and Bodie, and I'm sure y'all dated a while. Y'all didn't just meet one night and say, hey, well, let's go get married. You tried to understand each other so that when you do get married, you get along better and you have this understanding. And sometimes you understand that some things not going to change. I know that. And there's some, I tell my wife, there's some things about me, you know what, they're not ever going to change. That's just me. I'm excessive, compulsive. When I do something, I do it with all my might, all my soul, and then I'm tired, you know. It just wears you out. because I give it all I got. And there's certain ways she has that I won't mention. It's not going to change. It's not. You're laughing, but it's true. And then, so you once you come to that level of understanding, then you can do the wisdom part. And you go, you know what? That's not going to change. I can fight it all I want to. It's not going to change. Now, how do I deal with it? How do I handle that? That's where wisdom comes in. But you can't exercise wisdom till you understand it. You with me? Good. So even Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when we depart from evil, he said that shows the understanding of understanding what his word is saying. And the fear of the Lord is not the scared kind of thing. It's not like you fear a snake, even though you can respect a snake. But sometimes you see a snake, you run, for you're afraid he'll bite you. But Lord, if he's over there and I'm over here, he can't jump that far. I got enough wisdom and knowledge to know that. Now, I don't want to go say, well, let me see if I can pick him up. That's stupidity. That's stupidity. And I used to have a little stupidity in me. I remember many times that we would see a snake go in a crawfish hole. You've seen that? And his tail would be sticking out. I'd grab that tail and do like this and throw him. That was stupid. I thought I was Moses for a little while. But it didn't turn into a rod, so I had to let it go. But God wants us to have this reverence of him. He said that is the beginning of wisdom. When you begin to understand God. And the more I understand God, the more I fear him. The more I reverence him. So the wiser that you become. Abraham, the reason he was so faithful to God was because he feared God. And I want to show you just a little bit about Abraham and the calling of God. Every one of us have a calling of God on our life. You would not be here tonight if God had not called you. You would not be here. You didn't wake up one day and said, I think I want to be a Christian. God called you. Many are called, few are chosen, but he's looking also for the faithful. Abraham followed the calling of God because he feared and respected God, not because he was afraid of God. And those that God calls, let me tell you, he leads. Those he calls, he leads. For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And there are levels of separation that we go through in life as we get closer and closer to God. Because as you begin to understand, when you depart from evil, he said, that is understanding. That's understanding. So I want to show you a little bit about the life of Abraham and his level, as his level of separation occurred. It only occurred because his level of understanding increased. And when God calls you, he can call you. He called Abraham out of an idolatrous family. He can call you on a bar stool. He can call you while you're deep in sin. He called the lady that had committed adultery while they were fixing to stone her. He called her right there. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Go thy way and sin no more. That was her calling, to live a clean life. So God may call you on a bar stool, but I'm going to tell you something. You won't stay there. You won't stay there. You may be called there, but those he calls, he leads, and he leads them away from unrighteousness. And so if we need to make our calling, and I'm going to read this later, an election, sure, we need to enter into our purpose. Let me tell you something. Nobody ever entered into the purpose as soon as they got their calling. You won't see where anybody, God called them and they entered into their purpose just immediately. Even the Apostle Paul had to go to Ananias. He had to do something. And at his house, he said, it'll be told thee what thou must do. If you want to enter into the purpose of God, you're going to have to be led into the purpose of God. And so I want to show you that when God leads someone into his purpose, the first thing is the getting out stage. The getting out. Come unto me, right? Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And so there is this getting out. And that is the acknowledgement that God has called you. If you don't get out, you sit on the bar stool and you don't ever move, you'll never acknowledge your calling. So the children of Israel didn't even come out of Egypt bondage until they had a getting out phase, right? They had to get out of Egypt bondage before they could walk into the promises of God. So let's look at a few verses in Genesis chapter 12 and 1 about the life of Abraham. Ooh, I've got to hurry tonight. Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, get thee out. There's always this getting out stage, this separation of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land which I will shew thee. See, he didn't show him his purpose immediately. He doesn't even know where he's going. But he said, do you fear me? Because if you fear me, you're going to obey me. That's the wisdom behind it. And so this is his first level of separation. And any of you tonight that's living for God, I promise you, you had to leave some things behind or you would have not ever fulfilled the calling wherein God has called you. He never leaves you right where you're sitting when he calls you. And he said, I will make of thee a great nation. And then God begins to say these, I wills, I wills. First he tells him, come out from among them. Get thee out. This is what my calling is. Get thee out. Now, if you will get out, then I will. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families be blessed. So Abraham got out. He began that first level of separation. He departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He doesn't have really any promises that he can see. I mean, he doesn't even have a child. He's struggling to have one. And the Lord's telling him he's going to be a father of many nations. Now watch. The Lord spoke. He departed as the Lord spoke to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. The calling of God is never complete with one step. It's not a one-step thing. It is the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So I remember when we had our kids and they were younger, and I may still do this sometimes just for fun. But my wife and I used to play treasure hunt with our kids. Melanie, David, you remember playing treasure hunt? You remember, Melanie? Where was you, David? Well, maybe when I tell you, your memory will be jogged. I don't know. We used to give them a slip of paper. And we had a treasure for them, but the slip of paper would say, like, go look in book so-and-so on page 58. And in there it said, now, go to the freezer and open it up. And inside of a Ziploc bag, you will find further instructions. Now, am I the only parent that ever did that? Shame on y'all. Shame on y'all. And when they'd open the Ziploc bag, it'd say, now go look under the sofa. There's a post-it note. Okay, and they went till they finally, there were stages till they got their treasure. Anywhere along the way, they could have stopped, but they always had to come to the now. Now do this. Now do this. And I had a treasure and I had a promise for them, but if they didn't follow the now do this, they never got it. Y'all need to try that with your kids. Okay. Remember now, David? Okay. Thought you would. So the calling of God is never complete. If they try to skip it, guess what? They don't even know where to go next. If you skip it, you don't even know what the next step is. So you have to follow these steps. So here, Abraham, he comes out from his country. He brings Lot with him. And then he comes to his next now. And after Abraham brings Lot with him, he causes him a lot of trouble, as we know. And finally, the Lord says, Abraham says, look, we got to separate because there's nothing but chaos going on. And when he separated, Lot separated from Abraham. Now, who told who to leave? That's what I want to know. It was Abraham that said, depart from me. Now see, the Lord first told him, you depart from them. But now, after a while, you got to bow up to some things and say, now you depart. You're hindering me from getting the promises of God. So he told Lot, he said, look, the land is too much. There's strife going on between our herdsmen. We're not getting along. So you go to the left, I go to the right. You go to the right, I go to the left. It doesn't matter. And as soon as he left, you read the next verse, it says, and now the Lord said to Abraham, lift up your eyes. You see, there was the next stage of separation. Left his family, his fathers, his idolatry and all this. Now he's got Lot. He's got to separate even further if he's going to get the next now from God. And so he arises and begins to walk into the promises of God, because every place he walks now, he's supposed to be blessed, and that's supposed to be his reward. And so he just continues to walk in the promises of God. And every place he steps, it's his. But he hadn't received the promises of God yet. So he gets to the place where he gets frustrated. You ever been frustrated? Waiting on God and the promises of God, and you get frustrated. Let me tell you, there's nothing good comes out of frustration.